children, do you love driving your parents crazy with loud and annoying instruments like the trombone? Or the drums? Maybe you just have a tambourine. Now, you can stop driving your parents crazy with overpriced, seldom played right instruments. Now, you can do it with this Joshua's trumpet. Do this for 7 days and you're guaranteed that your parents will scream until the walls come crashing down. Act now and you'll receive a free instructional video for Joshua's Jumping Jericho Jubilee Jive, only while supplies last.
Have you ever wanted to catch the big one but could never be in the right spot at the right time? Do you move from a fishing spot and the next person makes the catch of the day? Well, fear no more. Jonah's Deep Sea Fishing is here. We know just where to find the largest fish. We guarantee that you will catch a fish, or at least the fish will catch you. No fish, no pay is our motto. Stop in and fish with us today. Jonah's Deep Sea Fishing, now located in Nineveh.
Welcome to the Bethlehem Evening News, where we share those events that alter and illuminate our times. You are there. I'm Walter Concrete. Tonight, we will bring you breaking news from Bethlehem, Judea, and the surrounding area. In response to the edict from King Herod, Jewish citizens are converging on the hometowns all over the Roman Empire. Roman officials report congested areas on all highways. And inside the town, the population has doubled, in some cases tripled, in just a few short days. Let's go to our man on the street in Bethlehem, Harold O. Riviera. Harold, can you give us an up-close view of how things are going?
Oh, well, thank you, Walter. You know, things are busy here on the streets of Bethlehem. Our crews are finding it difficult to move through the streets. There are families crowding the way, wagons of belongings blocking the roadways. Reports of shortages of food and beverages are widespread as suppliers find themselves stuck in traffic. Supply caravans are camped out on the outskirts of town and find themselves ripe picking for thievery.
Well, Harold, it sounds like the conditions are ideal for some sort of trouble. Are officials on the alert?
Yes, Walter. Roman guards are posted all around the perimeter of Bethlehem in an effort to keep mischief at a minimum. Here's a Roman officer now. Excuse me, sir. Sergeant, could we have a minute of your time? Centurion. Could we have a minute of your time?
I have no time to be talking to the likes of you. Move along, or I'll move you myself.
Well, Centurion, it's obvious that you're a well-trained officer and that this is not your first post. I must say, you're doing a most excellent job controlling these unruly citizens.
Of course we're doing an excellent job. We're Romans, after all. It's our duty to serve Rome, and that means making sure all these people get into town, take care of their business, and get out as quickly as possible without causing trouble for the empire. You there, keep moving.
Well, could you tell us, Centurion, what is the biggest challenge of dealing with a crowd like this?
The biggest challenge is trying to keep order while all these people find places to stay. It's like putting 10 pounds of barley in a 5-pound sack. The town's just not big enough to handle all these extra people. And of course, being Jews, they want to visit their temple and do Jewish stuff. I don't even want to know what they're doing there. Hey there, don't think about it.
So these folks, you know, they just want to find a place to stay and feed their families, you know, take care of business, you know, as quickly as possible. Does the Roman government have plans to provide for all of these people? You know, what about...
It's not our problem. It's theirs.
Well, Walter, I think it's
careful,
safe to say
Roman.
That
he's prime from the Amazon.
This is Walter. This is just not your typical week here in Bethlehem. Oh, I'll tell you. Oh, hey, excuse me, sir, madam. Could we have a minute of your time? Could you tell us your names?
Hi, I'm Samuel, and this is my wife, Rachel, and we own the inn right over here, and I'm sorry, no, we don't have time to chat, and we really must be going. Come now, Rachel.
Rachel, is it? Oh, yeah, yes, tell me. Could you tell me what life is like since the census began?
What is life like at our inn since the census began?
Uh-huh.
I can tell you what life's like since the census began. We have a dozen people in rooms made for four. We have our hallways that are blocked with bags and jars.
Yeah.
And our suppliers, they can't even get through the streets to bring supplies to feed everyone. And all of our help has been recruited to help their relatives that showed up at their home.
I see.
So, what is life like since the census began? It's exhausting, but it's really quite exciting. Very hectic, but exciting. Like nothing we've ever seen before in our little town.
I tell you, you and your husband seem to be keeping it all together, though. Samuel, is it right?
Yeah.
Tell me, what's it like, you know, having to get everybody in such close quarters? Have you had any difficulties, you know, due to the cramped conditions?
Yeah, we've had some squabbles here and there, mostly when we have to turn people away. Say, really, most people are just trying to get along. Sometimes it's like a big family reunion, seeing people we haven't seen in years and years.
I see.
But Rachel's right, though. It's exhausting. We're way beyond capacity. We're bursting at the seams. And and I just hope the fire marshal doesn't show up. But we'll all be glad whenever they finally go home, though. Won't we, Rachel?
Yes, we will. I'm sorry, but we really must go now.
Okay.
Oh, there's another poor soul hoping that we have room for him. He's going to be so disappointed. And look, his wife looked like she's nearing her time. Come on, Samuel, it's your turn to say no.
Walter, the question is, can the infrastructure of Bethlehem support this influx of visitors? I mean, there are a lot of people here. And a lot of unanswered questions. You know, where are they going to stay? Is there enough food? Will they be safe from vandals? Well, what about their animals? But under it all, though, there seems to be a thread of excitement or expectation. It's like the whole town is waiting for something.
Well, thank you, Harold. Do I understand that you and your crew will be staying in Bethlehem for the duration of the census?
Oh, yes, Walter. We plan to stay as close to the action as possible. But, Walter, since available lodging is non-existent, it looks like we'll be camping out on the countryside. We see a couple of fires up in the hills, and maybe some shepherds will be kind enough to let us join them. You know, no vandal in their right mind is going to mess with a bunch of shepherds protecting their flock. I mean, have you seen the staffs they carry?
Well, thank you, Harold. And that's the way it is today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Join us tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, as Harold digs deeper in to see how this little town of Bethlehem is coping with all the excitement. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Are you tired of dead end diet? Did you know where? Are you tired of losing a pound and gaining 2 pounds the next? Do we have the answer for you? It's a miracle diet. Straight from the sores of Bethsaida. You will live off 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's it. No high-priced pill or crazy recipes. 5 loaves and 2 fish. We're looking for the first 5,000 people to try out this miracle from God.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Here at Abel's Canes, we have the finest assortment of walking canes and crooks. We have all the latest models, like the tall Goliath, for those who like to be ahead of the others, or the Eye of the Needle, for those having trouble getting through. We even have family sets, like the First Family, for families that don't always get along. And as a Christmas special, I'll throw in a free cane for each family member. A free candy cane, that is. So stop by Abel's Canes, just east of Eden.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting us join you tonight. It would have been a cold, cold night without, you know, a fire and friendly conversation.
Don't forget food.
Oh, yes, definitely food.
No.
I've already had some Noble Romans. You can keep it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Our Noble Romans closed 25 years ago. I kind of miss it. Yeah. I tell you what, though, cold pizza's better than all that mutton honey we've been having every morning for breakfast. Hey, Harold. Bet you ain't never seen a view like this before.
No, I haven't seen this in a long time. Man, this is great.
I notice I've never seen anybody going on a trip without supplies. No blankets, no food, no wineskins.
Well, you know, when you follow breaking news, you gotta learn to travel light. Can't be carrying around a bunch of baggage and stuff like that. You know, since you may need to get called out at any moment. So, well, looks like you guys travel pretty light too.
Yeah, we get along all right. We wear pretty much everything we need on our backs, and what we don't need, we forage as we go along. We do fine. I tell you, it's good to have some company though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I tell you.
Yeah, we usually find a place to stay anyway, and, you know, we scrounge up something to eat.
I just look at this view here. I'll tell you.
You know, this is pretty great out here. Wow. Look at this view. Look at all those stars. Man, this is incredible.
Hey, look at that one back there.
Uh-huh.
It's so big, it looks like you could just kind of reach out and touch it, don't it? I bet you ain't never seen stars like this in town.
Nope. Never saw a view like this before.
Hey.
This is great.
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Exactly.
For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.
Did you see what I just saw? Did you hear what I just heard? I gotta see this. On to Bethlehem.
Wait. All right, we're
good. Hey, Harold. Bet you ain't never seen angels like that before.
No, I've never seen angels like that before.
Well, come on.
Fig tree, but where do fig trees come from?
From fig tree farms, I guess.
But how do they get there?
The farmer grows them.
But where does he grow them?
He plants seeds.
But where do seeds come from?
From God.
But where did God come from?
I don't know, honey. He's just always been around.
Mom, where do babies come from? Jenny Lou says a stork drops them off.
Well, yeah, that could be true.
Mom, which stork brought Isaac to Sarah, or Jacob to Rebecca, or Samuel to Hannah?
Well, a stork didn't.
But you said babies come from storks.
Well, a baby comes from mommy's belly.
I came from your belly? How is that possible?
A child is a miracle from God,
but... Watch out! Mom, you really need to pay attention to what you're doing.
Thankfully, I have Holy Land Insurance for all my household goods.
Will a stork bring you a new water vase? Will it be one of those new colors from Babylon?
Holy Land Insurance. We're there for you when your mind is somewhere else.
Tired of doing it all. I sweep and clean, I cook your food, I wash your clothes, and what do? You watch gladiator fights and chariot races. Well, I'm not doing it all by myself. I need help. I'm a wife, not a slave.
Men, is this you? Does there seem to be no end? Dial 1-800-DAN-YELL, and Daniel can pray for you. There's no charge, and we stand by our guarantee.
What are you doing?
Calling 1-800-DANIELLE.
You'd think it'd kill you to step into a washtub and scrub those crusty toes in the laundry baskets. It's to put clothes in, not to put clothes by. They go into the basket.
Thank you, Daniel.
If Daniel can pray for God to close the mouths of lions in a den, He can definitely pray for you. Ask about our special mother-in-law rates. 1-800-DANIELLE.
Silence never sounded so good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news from Bethlehem. Officials have received reports of bright lights appearing over the countryside, with some celestial sounds echoing in the hills. As you can see, the lights seem to have merged into a bright star-shaped object coming to rest over the town. Our man, Harold O. Riviera, was an eyewitness to this event and is on hand to relay what is happening in Bethlehem. Harold, what can you tell us about the events of this morning?
Well, Walter, thank you. It's really hard to describe what we've witnessed over these last few hours. As I mentioned in our earlier report, we joined a group of shepherds in the countryside watching their flocks by night. They shared their fire and their
Harold,
supper with it.
Do you know, or are the shepherds have any indication of something unusual was about to unfold?
Oh, no, Walter. It was a really quiet, one might even say it was a silent night. The sheep had settled down, and we were talking and sharing stories, and it was the clearest starlit sky I'd ever seen. We were just drifting off to sleep when we were blinded by this brightest light I've ever seen.
Well, that must have been terrifying. What happened then?
Well, you know, shepherds are known for their keen eye, quick reflexes, and a sturdy staff close at hand. Rarely do they back down from anything that's threatened their sheep. But when that blinding light surrounded our camp, I can tell you those big, strong shepherds were just as terrified as we were.
Well, what about the reports of celestial sounds echoing through the hills? How would you describe those sounds?
Well, Walter, it's indescribable. It was glorious. It was angelic. I'll never forget it.
Angelic? How so?
Well, out of that bright light, we became aware of an individual's beings being cloaked in that light. They were angels. One of the angels spoke directly to the shepherds, telling about a child, a baby born in the city of David. And the other angels just kept praising God and saying something like, "Peace on earth," over and over. It was like a song, a really beautiful song.
The shepherds now, Harold?
After the angel disappeared, they came straight to Bethlehem to search for the child the angel had announced. We followed them until they stopped at this stable that's right here behind me, which, interesting enough, belongs to our friends Samuel and Rachel, the innkeepers we met earlier this evening.
Well, Harold, do you know what happened inside that stable?
You know, I was getting ready to invest. Reuben, hey, is it true? Is there a baby? Is it true? Oh, pardon me. This, we're here with Reuben, the shepherd, and he welcomed us into his camp this evening. Reuben, could you tell us about, you know, the events that you've witnessed this evening out in the hills and as well as here in town?
Come on, dude, you were there. You saw it just the same as we did. You know them angels. Fear not. Shoot, you hit the ground faster than any of us did. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, it is true. It's true. Just like the angel said, there's a baby right here in Bethlehem, wrapped in cloth, just like the angel said, right here in the city of David.
Wow.
Who am I? How can it be that the Lord would show these wondrous signs to me? I've no wealth, no piety, no position in polite society. I'm no priest, I'm no Pharisee. Who am I? How can it be? I came to town once when I was 9, with my father and some shepherd friends of mine. When I smiled, the good folks turned away, and I learned where I fit in that very day. So why should the Lord reveal these things to me? Who am I? How can it be? I'm just a man who smells of sheep, but I'd die for lambs that fall within my keep. That's my lot, that's what I do. I know what I am, but what of you? And this Savior boy, oh, what of he? How does this all relate to me? Who am I? This makes no sense to me. Still I laugh at all the Father's irony. A Savior King, born in a barn, instead of safely in some palace warm. Who am I? Oh, could it be that he could care for one like me? Who am I? I think I see he came to save someone like me.
Walter, straight from the horse's, shepherd's mouth. Walter, I plan to dig deeper into this story and hope to have a follow-up segment further down the road.
Well, thank you. We want to thank Reuben for sharing his story. Harold, we look forward to hearing more about the long-term effects of the census. And if this tale of shepherds and angels and a baby in a manger... I'm Walter Concrete, and that's the way it is today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And now a word from our sponsors.
People of Judea, listen up. I promise to put you above myself. Hi, I'm Zacchaeus. Don't be duped by that other guy. He talks a big game, but he's short on action. If you vote for me as your next Jericho tax collector, I promise to slash taxes for everyone and not just the big guys. I will fight for your rights to living wages without oppressive Roman regulations. Things are looking up for me, and I want to look out for you. Vote Zacchaeus for Jericho tax collector. A vote for me is a vote for the little man.
This ad was paid for by the Friends of Zacchaeus at North Sycamore Street in Jericho. We or Zacchaeus cannot be held responsible for what happens if you vote for him. Vote in good conscience. A vote for Zacchaeus is a vote for the little guy.
I am Zacchaeus, and I approve this message.
Huh? You're reading from Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading?
How can I, except someone guide me?
I can help you. Just give me 1 minute. Hi, I'm with Philip, people helping illiterate lads interpret prophets. I and many other volunteers, like me, are here to help you or someone you know understand the language of the prophets. Whether it's Hosea, Obadiah, Elijah, or Elisha, we are always here to help. Don't go another day without seeking help from one of our Philip tutors.
I know Philip can help me understand Isaiah, and I'm even a eunuch. What does this say?
He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth.
Let Philip help you. New offices now open in Ethiopia.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Walter Concrete. Welcome to a special edition of the Bethlehem Evening News, where we share those events that alter and illuminate our times. Our man on the street, Harold O. Riviera, is on location in Jerusalem. Harold, tell our audience what you've discovered.
Thank you, Walter. After my last report, we tagged along with Reuben and our shepherd friends for a while as they took their flock to new pastures. And after several weeks, we were back to Bethlehem, and I decided to follow up on the census and the baby in a manger. That's when I met our guest, who had just concluded a very long and perilous journey. We persuaded them to delay their departure long enough to film a quick interview. May I introduce Belshazzar and his brothers, Melchor and Gaspar.
Hello, sir. So, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. O'Riviera.
Oh, well, Harold, please.
Oh, Harold, please.
Harold?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me, Harold?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please have a seat, please. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me get our audience up to speed now. On what happened and transpired since I last reported. Brothers you're looked up to as very wise men. Correct me if I'm wrong though, but in your homeland, you're looked to as of men of great wisdom, great influence. In fact, aren't you often referred to as the Magi or the men of the East?
In some circles, yes.
More like three wise guys.
So what was it that prompted your journey from afar? Well, why Bethlehem? Why now?
Because, you see, there was this sign that pointed to...
Then there were the prophecies.
It was really the star.
Yes, definitely the star.
Excuse me, did you say star? I wonder.
When we started out many weeks ago, it was like we knew there was a sign that was just... that we were looking for, and...
Yes, a sign of the utmost importance. A sign of the birth of an important king. Yes, the king of kings.
So, let me see if I understand. You saw this star and knew immediately it was a very special star. Am I correct?
You are correct.
So, what made this star so special?
Well, Harold, it's an amazing star to be certain.
Truly amazing.
Outstanding star to be sure.
And it wasn't just a star, but it's what the star pertained to. And you see, generations ago, the Jews were in exile in our country. And while they were there, some of us became believers in the one true God. And so many of our ancestors began doing all that they could to do their studies and to be in areas of knowledge like science and astronomy and mathematics and prophecies. And so that's how we became known as the Magi.
And over the years, those men taught their sons who taught their sons who taught their sons who taught
us.
Yeah. And we continue that pursuit of learning by continuing to examine the evidence, by continuing to search and research, and by striving to understand all of the information available to us. Over the years, over the generations, we became what you might call scientific theologians.
That's truly amazing. So, gentlemen...
Well, Harold, you have to understand that generations of us have studied the scrolls, the prophecies, and the parchments, and the mosaics. We've even talked to the ancient sages to find out their wisdom. And do you know what we discovered?
What?
That in spite of all of that, there was no way that, you know, in the heavens or in the creation or in all of the universe that we could totally understand what this was all about, but that it was only because there was a creator. And we will never understand how or why any of this for so many things. It's just inconceivable.
So what's the point of all this work, all of this effort?
Because we know that we are confident that there is something about the one that is the beginning, the end, and is currently here, that the creator, the one true God, well, we will never, never truly be able to, understand or comprehend that creator completely.
Oh, okay, but what about the star?
Oh, yes, the star. Forgot about that. So... I have to tell you that Melchior here is the best astronomer. So I'll turn it over to Melchior.
Of course. So you see, Harold, astronomers, okay, they have studied the skies for centuries. And over the years, they have discovered patterns that coincide with various events in history. So by studying those scrolls and prophecies, you know, we could only come to one conclusion, really. To put it simply...
Finally. Oh, I mean, thank you.
Of course. It was obvious that a cosmic phenomenon of epic proportion...
Cosmic phenomenon.
...was imminent.
Epic proportions.
See, before we headed on our journey west, we heard tales of celestial presence making itself known to a group of shepherds, accompanied by a bright light that coalesced into a star. The reports also mentioned angelic voices echoing over the hillside, musical in nature,
although only the shepherds could understand what they were saying.
Tell them that part. That's the best part. Right there. Right there.
Okay, okay. This group, this host of angels, announced to the shepherds that a child, a son, was born that night in the city of David.
Oh, that's Bethlehem.
The angels said that they got great news of great joy to all the people, that a Savior was born, Christ the Lord.
Angels?
Oh.
Remember the part about the angels?
Yeah. So, and then the angels, get this, okay? The angels told them that they would find a baby wrapped, lying in a manger. Okay? And guess what the shepherds found? A baby in a manger. I mean, who's going to go looking for a baby in a barn? But there he is. There he was, right in front of them.
Yeah, who'd believe a baby in a barn?
Yeah. Melchior, okay, I know I contain your excitement a little bit, okay? Now, by our calculations, it was at this moment, this exact moment, when the star appeared in the east, and we had been waiting for that sign to appear, but we weren't ready to leave right away. So, being the eldest, I made sure to check, double check, and even triple check all the facts, while Gaspar went about to make sure that he got everything ready for our provisions, and Melchior had to get our travel plans made up and arrange transport and an escort.
So how much time has passed since you arrived here in Bethlehem?
Well, we would have been here weeks sooner if Melchior hadn't messed up the directions and taken us through Jerusalem. We could avoid the whole being summoned by King Herod thing altogether.
I told you there was construction!
In any event, it was some time before we made our way to Bethlehem.
Guys, come on, knock it off. We're being interviewed here, okay?
So, the star was very faithful, though. It led us, it never wavered, and continued to lead us right to the king.
Straight to Bethlehem.
Not only to Bethlehem, but right to the very house where the child and his family were staying.
Right over it. Like, the house, right there.
See, the prophet Micah said that a ruler, a king, would be born in Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrath, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. We searched and searched their scrolls for a specific address, but
didn't need it. Turns out the star. I mean, what a miracle.
And it's true that Our path was very clear as long as we kept focused on the star right in front of us. Eventually, it led us to that small house. And we found the child and his family, and they welcomed us in. And there, we were able to worship the king with our gifts.
Gifts? Please, tell us about your gifts. What did you bring the baby child?
Well, I brought a chest full of the finest gold.
Gold. Very suitable. Very suitable gift for a king.
I bestowed bags of the purest frankincense.
Frankincense. Now, isn't that used in religious ceremonies in the temple?
Exactly.
I've heard it's very costly.
Oh, very.
I honored the king with jars of the most refined myrrh.
Myrrh. It's very extravagant, to be sure, but isn't that used to prepare a body for burial?
Seemed appropriate.
Oh. Man, well, I see. Magnificent choices, gentlemen. All fit for the highest king. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, your years of study and preparation have paid off. You found your king. You found the king you were looking for,
exactly,
correct?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, what's next? Vacation?
A vacation for us? No. We still have much to do.
Oh, but I thought you found your king. What else is there?
Well, we'll keep poring over the scrolls, you know. There's always studying to be done. In fact, I found one the other day. This guy Isaiah, he's got some pretty fascinating stuff.
And for now, we'll return to our home and continue our studies. And believe me, we think that this little king has his story is just starting in our world. And so there is much to learn about him and these prophecies. So, brothers, I think it's time that we go.
I'm just glad we're not going back through Jerusalem. That beast gave me the creeps. Should have gone there in the first place.
Wait a minute. You're not going back through Jerusalem, huh? Well, why not? I hear it's a pretty happening place.
Oh, it's a happening place, all right. But we were warned in a dream not to go back there. In fact, you know, normally we would go back the same way because the route was already made up. But early this morning, we all three were awakened by this dream. And it's only happened one or two times. And so we knew that we had to pay close attention to it.
You all had the same dream?
Yeah,
well, that's pretty weird. What was the dream?
Well, it was a warning. And it said, do not return to Jerusalem. Very specific. And it said that we should go home by a different route. And so, you know, that warning was very clear, very direct, and we're not going to ignore it. So we plan to, leave as soon as possible. In fact, we were already ready to leave Judea when you approached us on the street. Our camels are packed and ready for us outside.
So, gentlemen, thank you for delaying your departure long enough for this interview. It's been most enlightening, to say the least. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give our guests a round of applause for the most appropriate segment.
Thank you.
Farewell to you all. All right, Walter, it's back to you.
Well, Harold, that was a most edifying interview. I've heard of the Magi, but I always assumed they were legends, sort of beyond real life. But these wise men were very credible and relatable. How do they fit in with the census, not to mention the shepherds and the baby in a manger?
You know, it's truly overwhelming, Walter. When we first arrived here in Bethlehem, we met a lot of interesting individuals with just as many interesting stories. We met Samuel and Rachel, our innkeeping friends, and don't forget our friend Reuben and the shepherds. And there was that whole star thing with angels and the baby in the manger. Then our distinguished guests, the Magi, shared, and they both shared, all three of them shared, their studies as they brought them to Bethlehem. I was puzzled, though, really, Walter, as to how they all fit together and how they're connected.
I am a shepherd, humbled by heaven's bright star. I've nothing to offer but the peace that I hold in my heart. The night I saw the heavens open as angels fill the sky, nothing's ever touched my soul like a virgin's lullaby.
Sleep tonight.
Bearing gifts to lay before the
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Earlier this evening, Harold introduced us to three men with a thought-provoking story of studies and prophecies, of a star, of a child, a dream with a warning. Harold, something tells me that the story doesn't end there. What do you make of it?
Walter, I'm receiving an information on some sort of stir outside of the Jewish temple here in Jerusalem. Walter, there is a small child gathered around a young couple. I think it's Joseph and Mary of Nazareth, and there's an elderly man there also. From here, it appears that the elderly man is holding a child in his arms.
Harold, do you know the identity of the elderly man?
Walter, my sources have just told me that this gentleman's name is Simeon, and he's a righteous, devout man, God told him that he would not die until he had seen the consolation of Israel with his own eyes. Get this. It's the baby that was born in the stable of our innkeepers weeks ago. You know that same baby that our shepherds found wrapped and lying in a manger? Well, after the angel's visit, and Walter, you're never going to guess.
Harold, do you mean...
Well, yes, Walter, I do. This is the same child that the magi, the wise men, had found when they followed that amazing star. This just blows my hair back. You know, this is a much bigger story than we ever thought. Well, let's see if we can get closer and listen in to what's going on.
Master, you can allow your servant to depart in peace as you promised. My eyes have seen your salvation. Oh, you have prepared your salvation. Oh, my goodness. There you go. There you go. Oh, my goodness. This child will bring revelation to the Gentiles and hope to Israel. This child will cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and he will be opposed and rejected, and a sword will pierce your heart. The day has come. My eyes have seen your salvation laid before me, which you prepared for all to see. The light, the hope of all eternity. Just like you promised. Just like the prophet said. The hope of the world is here. Jesus, the wait is done. Our King has come to us, Jesus. Jesus, we
can now give our praise to him. A promised one has come, has come. Oh, just look at him.
Walter, I think that says it all, don't you?
Well, Harold, I agree. And that's the way it is today in Bethlehem of Judea. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.